Thank you for joining us on today's FPWR podcast. This is Susan Hedstrom, Executive Director for the Foundation, and joining me today is Lauren Schwartz-Roth, one of FPWR's earliest board members, former FPWR board president, and current member of the FPWR research team. If you have a loved one with PWS, you likely recognize anxiety and mental health are lifelong challenges that inhibit the quality of life for the person with PWS as well as the family. FPWR has prioritized research into behavior and mental health with the goal of finding interventions and treatments. Lauren Schwartz-Roth, clinical psychologist and mom to Emma, who is now 19 with PWS, brings a unique skill set to FPWR in our search to understand and improve behavior and mental health in PWS. Lauren, perhaps we could start with why you got involved with FPWR.
Hi, Susan. I'm very glad to be here today and be involved with this podcast and talk about my experiences with the foundation. So when my daughter, Emma, was diagnosed with Prader-Willi syndrome 19 years ago at 5 weeks of age, my husband, Mark, and I, who both have science backgrounds, really started looking for the research in Prader-Willi syndrome to understand more about it and what were some of the potential treatments and strategies that might be helpful for our daughter. And that was really our go-to strategy for addressing any challenge in our life previously. But when we went to the scientific literature, we were really surprised to find that there was very little literature out there about PWS, particularly mechanisms underlying the symptoms and potential treatment. And also, many of the stories that were out there were from families, other families with children with Prader-Willi syndrome. They were pretty bleak in terms of the functioning and future of people with Prader-Willi syndrome. Now, granted, this was in the early days of the internet, and so it really wasn't easy to find information as it is now, but that was pretty discouraging for us. And after we took some time to wrap our minds and hearts around Emma's diagnosis, we set out to figure out what we could do to help her and thought that our highest and best use, given our science background, would be to try to move the science of Prader-Willi forward and do everything we could do to create a better future for our beautiful baby girl, Emma. So I went online and started looking around, and again, the internet was very young, and there was a Yahoo group of some moms who had children with Prader-Willi syndrome who were talking about research and starting a foundation, and Rachel Tugin, Teresa Strong, Alice Varislav, Catherine McGee, Terry Schlange, Lori Baskin, all names that might be familiar to some of you. They were some of these warrior moms that I ran into in the early days who were interested in this. So we hopped on the board of the FPWR train and got involved. And in 2004, I was asked to be vice president, and the rest, I would say, from now till that is history. And I was on the board of directors on and off from 2004 to 2016. And in 2017, I officially joined the FPWR research team to really focus on PWS behavior and mental health research programs.
I still remember the first time I met you was at my first FPWR conference I attended. Jaden was 9 months old, and I remember traveling on a bus to a fundraiser, and I was sitting next to your daughter, Emma. And I recall getting off the bus after our wonderful conversation with her thinking, you know, if that's PWS, this isn't going to be too bad. She was very intellectual, very pleasant to be around. I'm curious, however, what has been your most challenging behavioral issue raising your daughter who has PWS?
I remember that as well. And I remember baby Jaden too. And kind of what that was like in those early days. So for my daughter, Emma, like you mentioned, she has lots of questions, and she, I think since she started talking, she has always had a lot of questions, and that has not stopped for the last 17 years, I would say. And I'd say her biggest challenges have really been anxiety and rigidity. And I think that's where a lot of the questions have come from for her. It really seems that from a very young age, anxiety was a driving force for her, affecting almost her every thought and behavior. Being a psychologist, I'm familiar with the different anxiety disorders, in particular obsessive compulsive disorder, which is talked about a lot in Prader-Willi syndrome. And I would say that being around Emma and being around other kids with PWS, there's sort of elements of OCD, but it's not exactly obsessive compulsive disorder. I think of it as sort of a PWS version of OCD. Emma worries about schedules, the food plan, social plans, in particular, what if things don't go the way that she wants or the way that she's planned in her head? What if something gets canceled? And she can really get in a loop about that and ask lots and lots of questions. They're not always the same questions, but they're variations on the theme. And a few years ago, probably 7 or so years ago, I started calling it monkey brain in our house, which she really glommed onto that term. Monkey brain or monkey mind is a term used in mindfulness and Buddhism, which refers to kind of feeling unsettled and restless and agitated and being distracted by worries. And I really felt like that fit well. So a lot of times at home, we talk about monkey brain. Monkey brain is trying to take over, or monkey brain is trying to make problems for you. Don't listen to monkey brain. And sometimes that's helpful for her to have that sort of more objective label for it. And we also try to do some calming exercises to deal with quote-unquote monkey brain, such as some brief breathing exercises or having her write down her worries and possible solutions. Making lists really help her. A 20-second hug can really help. But sometimes there's just nothing that can calm it down. And that is really motivates me on a daily basis to want to find more effective intervention for these struggles that many of our kids have.
Right. You know, when we're first given a diagnosis, we talk about hyperphagia. And I think for many of our, at least in my case with Jaden, for the first several years, we were very focused on hyperphagia and what that was going to mean for him. And interestingly, that is not our greatest challenge today. He is 10 years old. And what we realized after years of observation is his levels of anxiety are incredibly high, but it took us a long time to figure out what it was and what it looked like. So it's really wonderful to have someone with your experience, not only in clinical psychology, but also who, by having a daughter with Prader-Willi, to help us better understand anxiety and mental health and rigidity in our kids. So you are at the faculty of at the University of Washington in the Department of Rehabilitation Medicine, working as a clinical psychologist. How has your day job contributed to your effectiveness here at FPWR?
Good question. I feel really lucky in many ways. I have, I think, 3 or 4 jobs, if you call being a mom a job, which I think it is. And they're all really interesting and engaging, and they really inform each other. My work at the University of Washington Medical Center, where I've been on the faculty in the Department of Rehabilitation Medicine for over 20 years, I see patients and families who are struggling with acquired physical disabilities and chronic illness, such as brain injury, spinal cord injury, multiple sclerosis, and other disabling genetic syndromes. Now, these are adults. I often work with spouses and families as well. And my patients and their families have taught me so much about what it's like to live with a disability as an adult and to really strive to have a full and meaningful life. My clinical work at the university helps me think about outcome measures and clinical meaningfulness of interventions and what it means for treatment to make a real difference in someone's life on a day-to-day basis. I remember after I came back from one of the meetings with the FDA that FPWR had in the past, where there was a discussion there about clinical meaningfulness, and as I was seeing patients a few days later, I was really thinking about the kinds of things that make a difference in their life in terms of quality of life and function. And I bring those insights and what patients teach me every day to the research programs that I'm trying to develop for the FPWR. In one area that I think a lot about and am very interested in from both a research and clinical perspective since I was really in graduate school is looking at the impact on family. As a matter of fact, my dissertation many years ago, I often joke about when dinosaurs walk the earth, was about the impact of chronic pain on the family. And even before I had a person with a disability or a challenge in my own family, I really was appreciated how families are impacted and how they're in it for the long haul, day in and day out. And they are really a lifeline for the person with the medical challenge or disability. Yet there's often not much focus on their well-being and health, and also how they contribute to the person with the medical challenge in terms of their improvement and function. So I think about also the issues of caregiver burden and how caregivers can buffer the effects of this. And I see that when caregivers are taking care of themselves, it actually benefits the patient. And I also lead several groups focused on caregiver health and wellness at the University of Washington. And I've come to appreciate in real time with the families I work with what works for busy, tired caregivers and what doesn't. And this has really informed my work at FPWR as well quite a bit. I find this idea of measuring caregiver burden as kind of a supportive measure for some of the treatment interventions really intriguing, and focusing on this area as well in our research program.
So several years ago, FPWR put together a caregiver burden survey. I know you were a part of that project. Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your involvement and some big ideas that came out of that project.
Yeah, so that was a study that we did as part of the FPWR research team a few years ago. We did an online survey for caregivers, and we had over 100 caregivers respond, and we found some interesting findings. First and foremost, that there were very high levels of caregiver burden. The mean or the average scores were even higher than is seen for caregivers of people with Alzheimer's or brain injury. And we also found pretty high levels of mood symptoms as well in the caregivers and disruptions in sleep. And so I think it was pretty striking to see these dramatic impacts on caregivers, even those who have very young children with Prader-Willi, as well as those with older children. And one of the things that helped us do was validate a measure of caregiver burden that could be used in future studies, and in particular to see how treatment of Prader-Willi symptoms may also affect caregiver burden. The thinking being that if your child has some improvement in symptoms, such as anxiety or hyperphagia or tantrums, would caregiver burden change as well? You would expect that those measures would be lower if the child is improving. So that's kind of the next step we're looking at. Those results should be coming out soon. But the other thing that study really, I think, highlighted is how important it is for caregivers to be aware of how they're doing, their own well-being, both physically and mentally or psychologically, and to get care and support for themselves. Because as I mentioned above, you know, caregivers, especially parents, you're in it for the long haul. You are the lifeline for this child. And so it's really important that you take care of yourself along the way. And it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. So you have to plan ways to get rested and care for yourself along the way.
Sure, I can certainly attest to that. You know, caring for someone with Prader-Willi syndrome, I compare it to riding a roller coaster. You have moments of that are high and low. The good news is we usually come out of those bad spurts, But when you're in the thick of it, those stress levels for the caregiver can get pretty high. So moving to then our next question, you know, research in general has moved forward tremendously in the last decade, but perhaps even more so for behavior and mental health. In 2015, you had recognized that there wasn't a whole lot of work being done in this area, so you put together a mental health strategy workshop. This workshop brought together 45 of the top mental health researchers and clinicians from around the world with the goal of developing a strategy to help move forward PWS-specific research in the areas of both behavior and mental health. What do you believe has been the greatest outcome from that meeting?
First of all, that was a really exciting meeting. One of the things as I was putting the meeting together that I was struck by was all the yeses. I mean, I put out a bunch of invitations to researchers all over the world who study mental health and behavior issues in Prader-Willi, as well as in other possibly similar syndromes such as autism and Fragile X. And the response rate was sort of astonishing to me. I mean, these are busy researchers, and everybody, almost everybody said yes, that they wanted to make it to the meeting. So I was very heartened to see that, the interest and the passion that we have among our researchers in the community. It also was a way to bring in people, researchers from other areas, and get them interested in Prader-Willi. And several of those researchers have gotten involved in reviewing grants for us or even submitting proposals to study Prader-Willi following the meeting. So that was really a great outcome that I saw. And there's been a lot of other research that I think was kind of facilitated by that meeting. A quick review of the PWS research in mental health and behavior since 2015 shows about 30 published articles in key areas that were discussed during the workshop, and many of the authors of these papers were workshop participants. Also, we saw that several researchers started collaborations with the workshop, so different labs working together to combine resources and strengths doing projects, and that was super exciting for me to see. I mean, our goal of this meeting was to really light a fire under the PWS mental health research area, and I really believe the workshop accomplished that goal. So since the mental health workshop in 2015, as I mentioned, there have been several new studies. These studies have focused on ways of better defining the risk of mental illness and Prader-Willi syndrome, particularly looking at potential precursors to psychosis, focusing on some interventions for temper tantrums as well. Additionally, the PWS Global Registry has really taken off, with over 200 families completing surveys on the mental health and behavior section. And FPWR has released several blogs and graphs related to these findings over the last few years. And we've seen more studies on brain imaging, looking at the neurobiology underlying mental health and behavior in PWS. The other thing I really noticed as being part of the scientific advisory board is every grant cycle, we seem to be getting more and more proposals focused on research aimed at looking at mechanisms and interventions for behavior and mental health issues in Prader-Willi at all levels, from mouse models to neurobiology to clinical and human studies. To me, this reflects great progress and excitement in the field.
So behavior and mental health in PWS seem to be very challenging areas to research. Why is this?
Having been in the sort of psychological research field for several decades, I would say it's always a challenge for several reasons. I mean, one is that mental illness and behavior problems still, unfortunately, have a lot of stigma attached to them in our society. We don't like to talk about it, focus on it. People don't want to sort of admit that they struggle with some of these issues. So therefore, there's less attention and often less funding for research in these areas for challenges that all people have with mental health, not just people with Prader-Willi syndrome. I do think, though, that the tide is changing with greater awareness. And frankly, I think social media has been helpful in this area in terms of promoting greater awareness and acceptance of mental health and mental illness challenges across all individuals, young and old, male and female, those with medical conditions and those without as well. So I'm really glad to see things moving in that direction, and I think that will help support more research in this area in a global sense. Another challenge for research in mental health and behavior is that defining and measuring these internal states is really hard. The symptoms tend to wax and wane, and they're internal states. So if you think about anxiety, either your own anxiety or anxiety in loved ones, someone may be highly anxious yet have few outward signs. And I find this sometimes when I work with my patients, that they don't appear outwardly anxious, but when I do a more formalized assessment, they are endorsing several symptoms of anxiety. And also these symptoms come and go. They're internal. Some days they can be very severe, and other days they can be very mild. So it can be hard to assess these symptoms, and in Prader-Willi syndrome, it's even more challenging because of the intellectual and some of the cognitive challenges, that it's hard to ask the people themselves as part of really how they're feeling internally. Many people, especially children and those with intellectual disability, are not great at consistently reporting their internal psychological state. So all of these factors make doing this type of research a challenge. But I love a challenge, and the rewards of seeing people improve and feel more comfortable kind of in their own skin and enjoy life a bit more is really worth it. And that's one of the things that attracted me to psychology in the first place.
What do you think needs to be done next in order to make a meaningful improvement in behavior and mental health in PWS?
This is a question that keeps me up some nights. I think that the answers to address mental health issues in Prader-Willi syndrome will most likely be a combination of behavioral strategies and medication. I also think that there may not be one answer for every person with PWS and behavior challenges, but sort of a menu approach with different combinations of treatments to address different symptoms that your child's having or your young adult is having. And I also think it certainly changes with age, and so different treatments, both kind of behavioral or psychological and medication, may be required at different ages. And in some ways, this is very similar to how we treat mental health and behavior in the general population. So I could see a combination of possibly medication for anxiety, and then some behavioral interventions such as mindfulness or modified behavior therapy, particularly when kids are younger, as being helpful, and possibly some of the more traditional yet modified cognitive behavioral interventions being more helpful when kids are older. They're more at a kind of higher developmentally. I do think that when it comes to psychosis, our population, as we know, is at higher risk, especially those with UPD, but even the other genetic subtypes are at higher risk than the general population and also than other people with intellectual disabilities. So there is something unique about Prader-Willi syndrome, probably genetically, that makes our kids that more vulnerable. But I think the research, and especially in the last probably 2 years, there's been several studies underway really trying to understand some of the mechanisms and biological drivers of this vulnerability. So I'm pretty excited about some of the projects in the pipeline. I can't talk about them now, but hopefully soon we'll be able to discuss some of those results. And I think we're going to be able to identify very early signs of illness, especially psychotic illness, so treatment can begin early or even prophylactically or preventively that can minimize the symptoms and further dysfunction that can be caused by serious mental illness. And that's a big push in the area of psychiatry in general for people at high risk for mental illness, is trying to identify the very early signs and then treat to sort of prevent a larger set of symptoms developing. So I'd really love to see that approach applied to Prader-Willi syndrome.
So you're working on several big projects for FPWR this year. Tell us a little bit about them and why you're excited to be working on them.
Thanks. So one study that's currently underway, and they are recruiting subjects, it's a pilot study to see if a portable mindfulness intervention, so that would be online or on the iPad, for people with PWS might be helpful, in particular for reducing temper outbursts and anxiety. So this is a pilot study where they have come up with a modified brief mindfulness intervention, which is kind of a form of meditation and relaxation focused, again, particularly on a symptom such as anger or aggression that's found to be very useful in other populations. So Stuart Einfeld and Lauren Weiss and their colleagues at the University of Sydney are looking at adapting this and, again, creating a portable intervention that could be used in Prader-Willi. So I'm really excited about that. And, again, as I said, that pilot study is ongoing right now and they're recruiting. The other study that I think is probably just getting started is Dr. Deepen Singh is looking at a medication called guanfacine to see if it can reduce symptoms of agitation, aggression, and skin picking in Prader-Willi syndrome. Guanfacine is a medication that's already FDA approved for attention and impulsivity issues. And Dr. Singh has noticed that in some of his patients with Prader-Willi that he's treated clinically, he's seen a reduction in some of these issues. So he's now doing a small trial to look at whether these findings hold up and whether this medication is effective in PWS. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the results for that. And so that would be another medication option for people who are struggling with aggression and agitation. And another study that, again, is just starting, and I believe they're recruiting now, is Dr. Jan Forrester, who's pretty well known in the Prader-Willi area. She's a psychiatrist that has expertise in PWS for the last few decades. And she is doing a study focused on an intervention to reduce stress and improve family function. As I was mentioning previously, this can be a big issue for Prader-Willi families. And their intervention uniquely is focused on dads of teenagers with Prader-Willi syndrome. This is the first study to focus on dads. And their theory behind this is that particularly during the adolescent years, the father figure in family systems tends to be a stabilizing force on the family, so that if dads are doing better, that kind of helps the whole family have more stability and improved function. They, too, are creating an online intervention. I believe it's 4 sessions. And if it proves to be useful, they will look to develop this intervention for moms and possibly siblings as well. So I'm really excited about the potential of that project. And finally, I am starting a study to look at serious mental health issues in Prader-Willi syndrome and creating kind of a guidebook for parents in the community focused on parent and community experiences with mental illness in their children and adults with Prader-Willi syndrome. And for this project, I'm going to be interviewing parents and experts in the field to talk about some of the challenges that they've seen and to gain an kind of understanding of some of the common features of the onset of psychosis and serious mental illness in Prader-Willi syndrome. And I'm also going to ask about what treatments have been helpful, what have been some of their kind of experiences with the medical care system, and also get a sense of kind of how that person is functioning at this point and what suggestions that caregiver might have to others in the community who might be struggling with these issues in their child. We're also going to include information for the PWS Global Registry, which I mentioned above, which has several surveys looking at behavior and mental health issues in PWS, and we have a really large data set there, so we'll look at that data to inform the development of our guidebook as well. And this project is just getting started, but I'm really looking forward to putting this together as a resource for the community. So I am currently kind of asking for volunteers to participate in the mental illness guidebook that I was talking about previously. And this is an opportunity for parents of people with Prader-Willi syndrome ages 10 and above to participate in contributing to this guidebook. And the criteria are that your loved one has experienced a serious mental illness in approximately the last 5 years. And if you're interested in the study, you can email me directly or you can email Susan and she'll forward it to me. And then I would do a screening. And then if the screening criteria is met, then we would move on to schedule about a 1 hour phone interview. And it would be great if people are interested in participating. Love to talk to anyone who's interested further about that.
Thank you, Lauren. That sounds like a wonderful opportunity to be able to get involved and participate in this creation of a really valuable resource for the community. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today. You've been just a huge asset to the research community and FPWR. We're thrilled to have you on our staff and bringing in all of your experience and helping to further collaborations with researchers around the world. So thank you again for joining us today and sharing some of the work that you've been doing. I would highly encourage anyone who has listened to this podcast today, if you have questions for Lauren, we would love for you to submit them to us and we'll get back to you with responses. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.